Graphic Audio presents The Christmas Fairy of Strasbourg, a German fairy tale. Narrated by Terence Aselford, with performances by David Coyne, Nanette Savard, and Mort Shelby. Once, long ago, there lived near the ancient city of Strasbourg on the River Rhine a young, handsome count whose name was Otto. He lived in a castle with a moat and a drawbridge, which was surrounded by a forest so deep that anyone riding among the trees would believe that strange and wonderful things could happen there. Below the forest was the town, through which Count Otto would often ride with one of his servants in a fine carriage which was the envy of all. Wherever Count Otto went, he attracted admirers.
Look, there's Count Otto.
He's so handsome.
I'd love to be a countess.
Oh, he never looks at anyone.
Count Otto failed to cast admiring glances at any of the fair young maidens in his path.
Sigmund!
Yes, my lord.
Why is it that I cannot find a woman in this land who interests me?
Oh, well, there are several theories, my lord. The kindest being that you are too, particular in your tastes.
I? Too particular?
Yes, sir. For instance, what do you think of the fair maiden in yonder carriage?
Too fair.
I see. Mm-hmm. And that one over there?
Oh, too tall.
Ah. And the one crossing in front of our carriage?
Too flat.
The years flew by, and Count Otto remained unwed, and never so much as cast a glance at the young ladies of the surrounding countryside. For this reason, people began to call him Stoneheart behind his back. Finally, it chanced that as Christmas time came around, Count Otto wished to add to the excitement of the season. One evening, he was struck with an idea as he entertained guests.
Sigmund!
Yes, my lord.
Clean that up! And then arrange for a great hunt to take place on Christmas Eve in the forest surrounding this castle.
What a wonderful idea. How exciting. I've always wanted to go on a hunt.
Send word to everyone who is anyone in the surrounding land, inviting them to attend the hunt and a Christmas feast as my guests.
I shall set about making the preparations at once, my lord.
And so it was that on Christmas Eve, Count Otto and his guests prepared for the hunt. The horses stood saddled in the courtyard, their breath steaming into the cold night air. Hounds wandered and paced near the drawbridge, eager to pursue their quarry. The Count himself had greeted his guests and wanted to be sure that the celebration went smoothly.
Sigmund!
Yes, my lord.
Clean that up. Then see to it that the feast is ready to be served upon our return.
It shall be done, my lord.
My friends, let us drink to a successful hunt and to a very Merry Christmas.
To the Holy Spirit! Merry Christmas!
With that, Count Otto, his guests, and their many retainers rolled forth, ranging over the countryside. The chase became more and more exciting. It led through thickets and over pathless tracts of forest, until at length Count Otto found himself separated from his companions. He rode on by himself through the cold air and snow until he came near a spring of clear, bubbling water.
This must be the place known to the people of this land as the Fairy Well. I've never seen it before.
Count Otto bent over the spring and began to wash his hands in the sparkling, caressing tide.
Why, this water is wonderfully warm. in spite of the cold and frosty weather.
He felt a glow of joy pass through his veins, and he plunged his hands deeper. Then it felt as if his right hand was grasped by another, soft and small, beneath the water.
What's this?
The small, gentle hand smoothly slipped from his finger the gold ring he always wore. Count Otto withdrew his hand.
Where is my ring? How is that possible?
He tried to see the ring, but the pool was too deep. The ring was gone. It would never be retrieved while water flowed from the spring. Unhappy over his loss, yet full of wonder at this mysterious event, the Count returned to his castle.
Welcome back, my lord. Where did you go, my lord?
While his guests were full of talk about the hunt, Otto's thoughts were only of the fairy well and his lost ring, and he resolved in his mind to do something about it.
Sigmund!
Yes, my lord.
Clean that up, then go and tell the gardeners and field workers that there is a wellspring in the forest that I wish to have emptied and dug out tomorrow, without fail.
It shall be done at once, my lord.
Count Otto retired to his room and threw himself fully clothed upon his bed. Otto tried to sleep, but the strangeness of his adventure kept him restless and wakeful. The watch hounds alerted him.
Is that the drawbridge?
There came to his ear the patter of many small feet on the stone staircase. Then, from the chamber adjoining his own, he heard indistinctly the sound of many small footsteps. A light appeared under the door which separated him from the adjoining chamber. Count Otto sprang from his bed, and as he did so, there sounded a strain of delicious music, and the door of the chamber was flung open. Hurrying into the next room, he found himself in the midst of numberless fairy beings, clad in bright and sparkling robes. They paid no heed to him, but began to dance to the sound of the mysterious music. It appeared that the fairy world also had occasion to celebrate the Yuletide season. In the center of the room in which the fairies danced stood a splendid tree. On its lighted boughs hung diamond stars, pearl necklaces, bracelets of gold ornamented with colored jewels, hairpins set with rubies and sapphires, silken belts embroidered with oriental pearls, and daggers mounted in gold and studded with the rarest of gems. The tree filled the room with light.
Where could this have come from? I've never seen such a tree anywhere in the country.
The whole tree swayed, sparkled, and glittered in the radiance of its many lights. Count Otto stood staring at the wonderful tree, afraid that if he looked away, it would disappear. As he stood, gazing at all this wonder, suddenly, the fairy stopped dancing and fell back to make room for a lady of dazzling beauty who came slowly toward him. She wore on her raven black tresses a golden diadem set with jewels. Her hair flowed down upon a robe of rosy satin and creamy velvet. She stretched out two small white hands to the Count.
Dear Count Otto, I come to return your Christmas visit. I am Ernestine, the Queen of the Fairies. I bring you something you left in the fairy well.
As she spoke, she drew from her bosom a small golden box set with diamonds and placed it in his hands. He opened it eagerly. Within it, he found his lost gold ring. carried away by the wonder of it all, and overcome by an irresistible impulse, the Count pressed the fairy Ernestine to his heart.
Thank you, Queen Ernestine, for the return of my ring. And welcome, one and all.
Ernestine took Otto by the hand and drew him into the magic mazes of the dance. The mysterious music floated through the room. The rest of that fairy company circled and whirled around the fairy queen and Count Otto, and then gradually dissolved into a mist of many colors. The mist faded away, leaving the Count and his beautiful guest alone. Then the young Count, forgetting all his former coldness toward the maidens of the country round about, fell on his knees before the fairy queen.
Dearest Ernestine, my heart was asleep until now. You have awakened a love that will last forever. Please do me the honor of becoming my bride.
Oh, when I saw you through the waters of the fairy well, my heart too came alive with joy. And I took your ring so that I could return it and see you again. I will consent to be your bride, on one condition.
You have but to name it, and I will agree, for the sake of our unending happiness.
It is a simple condition, but absolute. You must never, ever speak the word death in my presence.
I shall have the scribe strike the word from the vows and marry you when the sun rises tomorrow.
Then, if you keep your word, I shall be yours from sunrise tomorrow until the end of time.
Sigmund!
I'm all right, my lord!
Never mind that! Wake the household and order them to prepare a wedding feast!
At once, my lord!
Oh, and Sigmund!
Yes, my lord!
Clean that up!
My magical minions will lend their help to conjure an enchanted feast.
The next day, the wedding of Count Otto and Ernestine, Queen of the Fairies, was celebrated with great pomp and magnificence, and the two continued to live happily for many years. But, as it happens the world around, joy is dulled by time, happiness becomes mere contentment, and thoughtfulness falters from moment to moment. Few mortals can remain vigilant against the occasional unguarded word. Now, in keeping with tradition, it happens that the Count and his fairy wife were to hunt in the forest around the castle. The horses were saddled and bridled, and standing in the courtyard, the company waited, some with their horses, some with the Count in the great hall.
My lord, the company awaits your pleasure.
And I await my wife. What can be taking her so long?
The Count paced the hall in great impatience, but still the fairy Ernestine tarried long in her chamber.
Sigmund, send someone to her. And tell her I bid her to move with the swiftness of a falcon.
I did send someone, sir. She sent word bidding you wait until she is ready.
I have waited for nearly an age, and our guests grow restless. Send word to her again.
I shall go myself, sire.
Count Otto paced and waited and waited and paced. At length, Ernestine appeared in the door of the hall, resplendent in her hunting finery. Her guests bowed to her and smiled, as was proper. But the Count's impatience overruled his judgment.
Madam, you have been most ungracious. Our guests have waited too long on your pleasure. You have delayed the start of the hunt for so long that it is plain you would make the proper messenger to send for death.
Scarcely had he spoken the forbidden and fatal word when he realized what he had done.
Ernestine!
What did she do? She vanished.
We must find her. Search the castle. Search
here.
Everywhere.
Search everywhere.
Count Otto was overwhelmed with grief and remorse. While everyone else searched the castle, he returned to the fairy well.
Ernestine! I'm sorry! Come back to me, Ernestine!
In vain, he searched for his wife in the waters of the fairy well. No trace could he find of his beautiful, lost Ernestine. Count Otto returned to the castle, where his servants and guests had searched everywhere, but found nothing. His servant waited for him at the gate.
My lord, every corner of the castle has been searched. No trace of your lady wife has been found, except for this. Look.
Count Otto looked up and saw in the stone arch above the castle gate the imprint of Ernestine's tiny, delicate hand set in the keystone of the arch. Years passed by, and the fairy Ernestine did not return. The Count visited the castle gate each day and gazed upon the imprint of the fairy queen's delicate hand. Each day, each year, he continued to grieve. And every Christmas Eve, he set up a lighted tree in the room where he had first met the fairy queen. He decorated it with all the bright, beautiful objects that a mortal mind could conjure into being, hoping that Ernestine would see it and come back to him.
Perhaps this year.
But his hope was in vain. Ernestine never returned. After many years, Count Otto died. The castle fell into ruins. To this very day, Ernestine has not shown herself. But above the massive castle gate, deeply sunken in the keystone of the arch, may be seen the impression of a small and delicate hand. And the people of the land, in memory of Count Otto's hope, decorated trees in their own homes, surrounding them with baubles and gifts, in the hope that the magic would be reborn. And such, say the good folk of Strasbourg, was the origin of the Christmas tree.
The Christmas Fairy of Strasbourg is a graphic audio production. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Terence Aselford, David Coyne, Nanette Savard, and Mort Shelby. Original story adapted by J. Sterling Coyne. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Terence Aselford. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Dwayne Beeman. Graphic audio titles are available in travel centers everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you can hear samples of all our audiobook titles, as well as free downloadable extras, audio guides, and podcasts. Happy holidays from Graphic Audio.